Hello and welcome back to the Rigged Recap, where me and Black Boy are here to talk about UK versus the World, episode 3.
I love your Duolingo, Derek. Derek and I are...
I almost lost my streak, but thank you for the freezes. That saved my ass this week.
Of course. Derek and I are friends on Duolingo, and we'd be doing a friends quest, and I think this week is, like, complete 15 lessons, and Derek did, like, 11, and I did 4.
Yeah, we're, like, falling behind, bestie. We need to pick up the pace.
I'm sorry, I do my Duolingo, like, once a day, if that. I use, like, 2 free streaks, and then do my Duolingo so I can replenish the free streaks, and then do 2 more.
Leaving me in the dust. So we have a lot to talk about today, specifically because the international franchises have been popping off. So Matthew has some things to discuss in Matthew versus the World.
Yes. Wait, which one should I do? Because Belgique and España All-Stars were this week, and both of them were equally as chaotic, and I'm not sure which one I should do.
I think the cheating one.
Oh, okay. Drag Race Belgique this week was just absolute pure chaos for many, many reasons. Because right before the critiques began, Rita Baga announced that 2 queens were caught cheating by reviewing the judges' notes prior to the runway. Apparently, there was something about how all the judges step out of the room and take a break. That's when 2 queens, Star and Gabbana, walked over to the judges' table and just looked through their notes. I don't know what benefit that would give them. What do you think they were doing that for? Like, what would that give them any benefit, do you think?
I think it would, because, like, seeing what they actually wrote down versus, like, what they're telling them, like, it might be too, like, not different, but, like, a little bit, like, theatrical. What's the word? Whatever, to, like, make the critiques, like, fun, but, like, maybe that their real notes were, like, a little bit different.
Maybe the real notes are, like, Gabbana's a fucking bitch. I want her home now.
It's so funny, because, like, the photo of them, like, when they look into the camera, it literally looks like that Bigfoot footage, where it, like, looks in the camera, it's like, oop.
No, because they got caught in 4K. The cameras were pointed directly at them. Oh my god, it was just so crazy. And then Rita did nothing more than give them a little slap on the wrist, where she was just like, well, just don't do it again, okay, you guys, you know? And then no punishment whatsoever, which tells me almost, like, because it was so benign, I almost think it was staged. You know what I mean?
Well, like, why are the notes just, like, still sitting there? You know what I mean? Like, it seems kind of like, that's kind of on production.
Right, like, that feels like an oversight
almost. Oversight, like, yes.
Yeah. And it's just, like, my other thing is, like, if the judges' table is so easily accessible to all the queens, why did nobody on the production team, like, stop Star and Gabbana from, like, walking over there? Like, did nobody see them walk over there and, like, say, hey, ladies, you can't be here, right? It just feels weird.
Like, I don't think there's a single time where those queens are on set where a production member is not very close nearby.
Right.
Like, maybe when they go to the bathroom, sure. But, like, every other time, like, there's a PA or a handler or, like, someone to, like, make sure they're not breaking rules and shit. So...
Exactly. So how is there nobody there that was, like, inside of them that could stop them? I don't know. That was just very weird to me. You know, my conspiracy, my tinfoil hat went off a
little
bit there.
That was weird for me.
That was weird for me. And then the episode ends with one of the more beloved queens, Morfay, quitting the competition after she got really kind of nailed by the judges during critiques. It was actually kind of sad to watch.
I watched Mira Mangle talk about it, and she kind of pointed out that, like, they were saying, like, this wearing black thing, like, we've gone past the time where, like, you can, like, make a difference in this or whatever. But, like, this is, like, the first time she's been critiqued in a while. So, like, how would she know that?
Right, exactly. Like, there was a very weird moment in the very first or second episode where Morfay was safe and Rita Baga still, like, called her out from, like, the safe girls and said, you know, we're just waiting for you to step it up. So I think they had, like, a target against her since the beginning. The critiques that got me were when Rita and the rest of the judges were saying, we don't think you're fully formed yet. And they used, like, the analogy, like, you're kind of in a cocoon. You're kind of still metamorphosizing. Catamorphosis.
Please. No.
And Morfay responded by saying Morfay's aesthetic is always constantly being in a stage of metamorphosis. This is who I am. And then Rita was like, you say you're fully formed, but this is half-baked or something like that. I was like, oh my god. So yeah, it was kind of a wild, crazy, sad experience altogether for Drag Race Belgique this week, which is kind of like the running theme for that entire franchise.
Okay, has Rita Baga, is she like up there with the host, or is she still kind of like mid?
It like, okay, even compared to season one, there's just like not a lot of energy when she's hosting. Like season one, I don't know, maybe it was like the excitement of like starting a brand new franchise, but compared to then, she's just like so passive and benign. She's definitely one of the lower ranked hosts for me in terms of hosting.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, you were on production and they were like looking at the notes. Is that grounds for like expulsion?
I wouldn't say you're leaving right now, but I would say like this shouldn't go unpunished. Like you guys are going to lip sync for your life. Like I think in that scenario, I would put both of them in the bottom and like save Morphe and Lulu Velvet or something. Like that wouldn't be enough to by themselves disqualify them, but I would put them in the bottom for it.
So a lip sync to see who is disqualified.
Yes, which is, I made a whole YouTube video about how that was crazy on Italia, but here I am suggesting it on Belgique.
Mm-hmm. So far, would you say Belgique, like, is it bussin', is it mid, or is it a flop?
Like, I would say it's a flop, but it's not even, like, making a big enough splash that I can have an opinion about it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess by its very nature, mid.
Okay.
It's such a shoulder shrug season. Almost, unfortunately.
Wasn't season one pretty mid, too?
Yeah, season one was pretty mid. It's been, Drag Race Belgique is just like a constant question mark. It really is a weird spot in World of Wonders history.
Mm-hmm. Low-key, though, like, just to, like, segue, I'm feeling like UK versus the World 2 is, it's pretty mid as well. I think episode 2 was really great. This episode was another mid one, just like the premiere for me. For me.
Derek, how could you say that?
I think this episode, the issue was the challenge. The challenge was kind of so vague, and none of them knew what they were really doing. So, like, the outcomes were just not great. The runway was also not great overall. So, while I like the queens, I'm not getting, like, the top-tier iconic performances from this episode that I would expect from, like, a season like this.
So, okay, that's totally fair. The challenge this week was unfortunately a flop.
So we get into the workroom after Mayhem, not Mayhem Millers, she went home first, after...
Wow, already forgot Arantxa. You already forgot Arantxa.
After Arantxa's elimination, and I have to be better because I got a note in the Spotify Q&A saying, you seem very unprofessional and unprepared. You don't even know the challenges or who wore what. You need to be more professional with this podcast. So I need to know every detail specifically.
Wait, what?
Someone left that comment.
That was probably me.
Please. You're trying to take down mine and Kayla's so that this one is the only one remaining.
For the Matthews Global All-Stars podcast, we'll be the only one left standing this summer.
Yeah, they come in after Arantxa is eliminated, and Kata Minaj reveals that she was going to send home Theresa May.
That's crazy.
But it was pretty obvious, like, just based on, like, how she was, like, receiving Theresa when they had their little, like, sit-down. Like, I could kind of tell she was not featuring what Theresa was saying.
Yeah, totally. It was just kind of, like, a crazy choice that I would have made as well.
That we both would have made. My issue is we don't really get a full, like, explanation of, like, why she did it. Like, she didn't say, oh, I wanted to break up the UK girls, or, like, I wanted to send home better company. Like, we didn't really get, like, a full reason.
Yeah, she kind of just, like, said, somebody's going to be mad at me. And then somehow the conversation just turned over to the rest of the girls. And Kata kind of, like, I wonder if it was almost, like, a, not necessarily a strategy, but it seemed to work well for Kata because she kind of just, like, stood back and didn't have to explain herself, because I feel like any explanation in that scenario would have made Theresa maybe even more vengeful than she might have already been.
So yeah, that's like a little interesting little tidbit. And there's really honestly not much time for anything else, because we kind of just dive right into the challenge and then that's it. So the challenge is a immersive experience which, like, this was very vague. Was it supposed to be, like, a VR kind of situation?
No, I was taking it as, like, more of a commercial challenge, not necessarily, like, a VR experience. Mm-hmm. I almost said, like, AI or AR, whatever.
A chat LGBT.
Stop, that'd be a funny challenge.
I think they should do that.
Chat LGBT. That's a great idea, Derek. You're so smart.
Thanks. I definitely stole that from the weekly trivia I go to because that's one of the teams.
Please.
But it's really good, so I had to use it. My understanding of, like, what they were asking for is, like, yes, it's a commercial, but it's a commercial for, like, a VR experience where, like, you go into Drag Race World and, like, experience Drag Race for yourself. Like, maybe that's wrong, but it was so, like, not explained well that, like, which obviously that was the case because the girls didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know what they were doing. Yeah.
I think the stipulation here is that I don't see, like, the VR aspect of it, but it definitely was supposed to be, like, that immersive experience. But where a lot of girls got tripped up is that they didn't catch, like, the immersive Drag Race experience part. I think, like, the whole challenge was what it's like being in Drag Race, right?
I guess.
Maybe?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. This was just not... I think if they would have had it be more like, this is a VR virtual reality, you're diving into the world of Drag Race, and, like, made that more obvious, like, I think that might have actually worked better, because it's just so, like, meandering, like, all over the place, and even within one group, it seemed like they were doing different things at times.
Yeah, like, some queens some queens were taking it, like, a travel vlog, you're like, oh, you know, here's what you do if you go to Amsterdam, and then another queen in that group would say, okay, well, here's my experience in Drag Race specifically. It was very odd.
Like, not to, like, you know, call out production or anything, but, like, the people who had the most trouble were the ESL queens. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
The people who did not, the group that nailed it, the concept and what they were looking for, were all English speaking first language queens, Scarlett and Charisa and Gothi. Yes. Like, so maybe they really should have, like, explained it better, because, like, I barely understood it, and English is my first language. I couldn't even fathom, like, what freaking, like, Marina and, like, Grand Dame were trying to, like, the calculation meme, like, on everybody.
Yeah. So I wonder if here we're starting to see sort of the walls that you hit when you have a season of Drag Race that is mostly comprised of queens who have English as a second or a third language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because on UK versus the World 1, A... only two of those queens were non-native English speakers. And B, there weren't really, like, enough challenges that season. There were only 5 competitive episodes. And there weren't really enough challenges that, you know, you could really get tripped up on the instructions. You know, because you had, like, the Rusical Snatch Game. Like, you had things that were like, okay, I know I'm supposed to be funny. I know I'm supposed to perform here. But here in this scenario, this challenge kind of has a lot to it, and it's kind of a thinker, and if you don't put in the extra effort to make sure that all of your queens understand the instructions, including the queens who might not be native English speakers, then don't have this challenge.
Mm-hmm. This would have worked if it was a travel vlog or if it was a VR, but because it was, like, half and half, it was just, like, it was a conundrum.
It was.
So we have our team captains are La Grande Dame, Charisa May, and Kata Minaj as the two winners of last week and the person who survived the bottom two. So they get to pick teams, and the last chosen was Gothi Kendall.
Yeah.
Whenever they do this, I always think back to, I don't know why, but it's like one of those moments that sticks out in my brain. When Kimchi is picked last for the dance challenge, and it cuts to her in the diary room, like, I would have chosen me last too. And it's, like, sad music and her, like, frowning, and I'm like, it's almost like
she's
but Gothi, like, isn't upset. She's kind of like, I get it.
Yeah, like, it makes sense. But this is Gothi's probably first ready-made storyline. So here we go.
Something I've noticed about Gothi Kendall is listen, there's a couple people who were surprised that she was on this cast. And I think she's surprised that she's there too, based on how she's acting, the things that she's saying. She's like, these judges are freaking me out, so I'm just trying to get off this runway as quick as possible. I'm like, girl.
No, because there's something about Gothy. I think I said this last week. There's something about Gothy that she is still not even positive that she's there right now.
Literally.
There's something about the way she walks, and even in the confessional, she's like, hold on, am I still here?
So, I mean, it's fun that she wasn't, like, feeling any type of way. She was just like, I'm last. I get it. Let's do something.
She's a good sport.
So, the three teams, the first team that we'll talk about is Team Kata Minaj, and she is paired with Tia Coffey and
Marina girl, Summers. Did you even watch the episode?
I just watched it. So, this group kind of runs into trouble right away because they do their one-on-one with Rue, and Rue is, like, so confused on what they're doing.
Yep.
And I think they're confused on what they're doing.
Yep.
And this is the group that kind of went in a couple directions, because you have, like, Tia, who's, like, making it about her, like, her brand, her, like, Drag Race stint. And then you have Marina and Kata, who are like, let's take you to our countries.
Yeah, that's how it went. It just was a very confusing challenge, and we saw it most potently here. I don't know. I also didn't like the way that it was kind of framed as if Marina and Kata, like, misunderstood the assignment. How do I want to phrase this? They did misunderstand the assignment, but I did not like how the edit was sort of framing it as, like, they didn't listen to directions. Like, you know, like that with that confessional from Tia, that was like, Kata and Marina are trying to take you to this travel agency, and I'm trying to do the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't like that, especially, like, in a scenario like that where they're your team, like, maybe want to try to help them to sort of rear them in the right direction, maybe? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, and we also got in this episode, Michelle is on set helping them, directing them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get Michelle who's just there to kiki, and sometimes you get Michelle who is there to serve cunty face, giving them nothing, like, intimidating, scary. And that was the Michelle that was here this episode.
Michelle was probably woken up at the wee hours of the morning just to show up in for this challenge.
That nobody knew what they were doing. Literally on set.
Right.
I would say besides Scarlett's group, the other two groups were literally figuring it out in the moment is what it felt like.
Yeah. And like, oh gosh, it's just like the thing about this too is when I think about like what this challenge could have been, there's so much potential there because if we look at, like, Kata, Marina, and Tia, they could have done so many things about, like, they're a team representing Drag Race Philippines, Holland, and UK. They can make so many jokes about what their experience was like at Drag Race Philippines versus Drag Race Holland. You know, make some inside jokes about Paolo Ballesteros, make some inside jokes about Fred Van Leer. There's so much potential there. And it's just like, it's so disappointing to see, like, this outcome.
I wonder how much they're allowed to reference their original seasons. Like, inside jokes or, like, things that, like, you would only get if you watched it. Because, like, they can easily be, like, Arantxa saying, well, my fashion wasn't good. And then they can show some crunchy looks that she wore. But to, like, try and explain references that, like, you would only get if you watched their season. Like, I'm wondering if that's something they're kind of, like, shied away from doing.
Do you think, like, the production team tells them not to, or, like, tries to steer them away from that?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. It's just, like, if I were producing the show, that's something I would think about. You know what I mean? Because you...
Right.
This, you're not expecting that most of the audience has watched every single one of these franchises.
But also, there are some references there that, if done right, would be funny, even if you don't get where the reference comes from. Like, in Drag Race Philippines, if Marina made a joke about, like, the shoes, if she did that right, do you know where that comes from when I say that, even, by the way?
Nope.
Okay, but I feel like if they found a joke that they could write into their commercial, that'd be funny for both A, the audience that hasn't seen Drag Race Philippines, and B, the extra layer of fans that, like, would get where that reference comes from. I feel like there's just a lot of potential there that I, as, like, a producer, wouldn't try to have them shy away from.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess that's the thing is, like, the people who I feel like did not get this challenge, like didn't like get down to like what it should have been, were the three international, like non-English speaking queens. So yep. Like, especially with Tia so heavily including references from her season, if I were Marina, and RuPaul also kind of like said that was great, like she read Marina, she read Kaeda, she's like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but sure, whatever. Tia, I love that idea. If I were Kaeda or Marina, I'd be like, oh, maybe I should like try and go more in Tia's direction.
Exactly.
But they didn't. And I feel like it's potentially, that might be a factor.
Exactly.
Because same with La Grande Dame. Like, I'm sure she had things she could have referenced from France, but she just started doing, like, impressions of random fashion people. Like, it was just, like, strange.
It was a very odd experience. I don't know whose idea it was to have, like, a quote-unquote commercial. Whose idea was this? Whose intern?
It's just, well, and also
had this idea.
Not even just for the audience. RuPaul, if Marina did the shoes thing, RuPaul wouldn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
Right.
And you're there to make RuPaul laugh. I'm wondering if someone said, listen, Ru doesn't know all the references. Ru doesn't know all the things you did in your season. So make it more general.
Yeah.
I don't know. That makes sense to me. And I think explains maybe some of the like weird choices that were going on and the weird interpretations.
Yeah. It's a very soft topic, especially when you have to like speculate on how much the producers were encouraging the queens to shy away from that, or if like the queens themselves were saying, you know, this is a show for RuPaul, should I even make a reference to a season he probably didn't even know was being produced, let alone watched, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, even like Marina wearing what they called, what's this fish outfit you're wearing? Like, we don't get it. What is it? Like,
yeah.
If I was Marina and I heard that, I would say, okay, maybe I need to do less like Filipino references and more just like,
right,
in general, because I'm not here to make Mama Pau. Is that who is the host of Philippines?
Yeah, Paula Ballesteros.
Yeah, I'm not here to make her happy. I'm here to make RuPaul happy. What will RuPaul understand and get?
True.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
but
it is
kind of diving into this team's performance and the looks, which the runway theme was Reveal Yourself, which I'm just over. I'm so done with this category. It was such a good idea on All Stars 2, and it was done so well on All Stars 2. And I feel like every time they've done it since, it's the wheels have been spun too many times.
Yeah, we're kind of getting into that age of Drag Race where a reveal is only iconic if you don't see it coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is why I think like some runways this week really worked, like La Grande Dame's, and we'll get into that when we get to her. But now that we have like this runway challenge that is specifically tailor-made for reveals, I don't know, it's kind of like less exciting than when it once was.
Well, and if I were doing this runway, I would want to steer away from doing anything that's been done before.
Uh-huh.
And that makes it even harder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen so many incredible reveals that, like, is there really that many things left to do that, like, haven't been done? Like, you can kind of find ways to, like, switch it up a little bit. But, like, most of these on the runway were giving kind of, like, Megami's. Where it's like, oh, that's, like, kind of, I guess you could call that a reveal. But it's not what you would expect to be a reveal.
Right.
Like, opening up a coat, is that a reveal, or is that just, like...
Are you just taking off clothes?
Yes, exactly. So, let's start off with Marina Summers, who starts off the commercial showing off her native land of the Philippines and showing you how you can be a drag queen in the rice fields.
How glamorous. Farmers.
She was really good.
Yeah, it was like... It was good.
I feel like you're not convinced.
Well, I mean, this is my girl. I'm always going to root for my girl. But, you know, it was like a very safe performance to me. I feel like there was a lack of, like, creativity in how she could have, like, incorporated the Philippines or how to, like, do drag in the Philippines. Like, she was just asking the Brit crew member to, like, duck walk on the rice fields, you know what I mean? But there are like so many there are so many creative ways that I feel like she could have incorporated that. Like, have you seen those memes on Twitter of those little boys in the Philippines that make dresses out of like giant leaves and they like mm-hmm. walk On the road, like something like that, where she's like, you can make a look out of anything here in the Philippines. And like, I wish they brought out like a leaf or something and made the Brit crew member wear that in drag. You know, those sort of things that I thought really could have been a fun idea to incorporate into the challenge. But for what she did come up with, I thought it was very good. It was very passable. But I will have to say, though, this runway, gorgeous. I think it's my favorite of the week. Maybe second favorite. That volcano look at the very beginning was so well done. I was absolutely obsessed with it.
Well, it's like the like the molten rock, and you can see like the lava in between.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts like ripping out these little pieces, and like it looks almost like red, like chainmail, like glitter, something like that, like shoots out, and it looks like little lava things are like starting to like explode. And then she flips the dress, and it's this like lava sequin gown, and it's so stunning, and the headpiece changes.
Yeah, it's just absolutely gorgeous. The first of the two looks is by far my favorite. Like, I thought that was just so creative and such a insane way to like do a reveal of like breaking off pieces of your look that sort of define the story.
And I love when a reveal look has a story, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm okay with one pretty look that goes into another pretty look. That's fine. I hate when they do, like, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but, like, two different looks that have nothing to do with each other. They just are, it, like, a freaking Mohart with the Cookie Monster look that goes into the, like, leotard with, like, the hand. Like, it's like, okay, well, how does this connect? Like, if you're going to do two completely different looks, like, there should be some kind of through line.
Right.
So I love that this has, like, it's telling an entire story. Like, this is art. Like, this is, like, fashion becomes art.
Marina, the Filipino winner.
And, like, I see what you're saying about, like, wanting to go a little, delve a little deeper into, like, the Filipino drag. But I actually think this was smart because she's in front of RuPaul. And she already made jokes on the main stage about the rice farmers and all of this. So, like, it's something that she knows RuPaul's going to get. We've already talked about this. It's a reference to something earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And she still was, it, like, I thought it was really funny. Like, the writing was really good. She was really funny. So I actually think that was a really smart move. Like, it was probably safer. It didn't, like, maybe show off Filipino drag as well as, like, she maybe could have. But, like, she's there to compete and to please RuPaul. And I think she did that the best that she could.
That's true. I suppose just, like, my one stipulation is that I'm not, like, frustrated. But I'm more... I wish we could live in a universe where, like, queens don't have to cater to, like, a Western understanding of their culture or their drag. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's what makes me really nervous for, like, global all-stars. Because, like, at least on a season like this, like, RuPaul's understanding most of the references, most of the everything of what happened on the previous seasons. But global all-stars, she is only going to know, like, three girls.
I dare I say even two, because I feel like she doesn't remember who the UK girl is.
Probably. So, yeah, like, I don't see how you could do some... I don't know how you do a branding challenge on global all-stars.
Right.
And have it work.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess we'll just have to see. That's why I wish global all-stars would at the very least have, like, the judges of their original franchises show up. It, you know, it doesn't have to be a host, but at least, like, have, like, at least one judge from each franchise show up once every week. I feel like that'd be a good reference, a good buffer in between, like, the Western understanding of drag or even, like, RuPaul and Michelle's understanding of drag and, like, where these queens come from. You know, I feel like that'd be a good buffer.
I agree. So I guess we'll have to see how that turns out, but... this is not a good omen for Global All-Stars. So Marina Summers is getting an absolute close case for me.
Closed case. That's mother.
Up next, we have Kata Minaj, who takes you to Holland and shows you that you can roll around in paint with a hot man in his underwear. Like, that's what you do in Amsterdam. I heard it was crazy, but...
Catamorphosis. Catamorphosis.
The amount of times that she was rolling around saying... what did she say? Splatter. Like, 30 times.
I'm sorry, and that crazy Brit crew member, he actually looked like he was very, like... concerned for what he was going through.
Listen, Bryce, all he has to do is, you know, put on a wig every now and again and look pretty. These men were dress, different dress, makeup, different wig. Like, they were, like, de-dragging and re-dragging for every single thing. They had physicality. You were rolling on the floor. You were getting paint on you. They had a shower on set ready to go. They better have gotten paid double what a regular pit member gets paid in a day, because they were put through the ringer.
Girl, do you think that... Girl, it's the BBC. Do you think they got a single cent?
Though at least they can get a regular repeater badge.
They got a badge. Kata Minaj, unfortunate week for her. You know, I'm going to start with the positives. Like, this runway, I thought this runway was absolutely gorgeous. Because it's not a reveal in the way that I thought it would be originally. Obviously, like, this oversized suit is a gorgeous detail, and it is something that you look at and you will expect a reveal from. But what I didn't expect was that it would reveal like a banana peel.
Don't say it too loud or Nymphia Wynn appears in the mirror.
God, who knew that Kata Minaj would be the original Nymphia Wynn? Nymphia Wynn. Nymphia Wynn could never. But I do think it is a very gorgeous look and very abstract. I don't know what it is, but in drag, I love when queens and other drag artists have like those really high shoulders in their garments, those really thick and noticeable shoulder pads. Drag Quen from Drag Race Belgique season 1 does that a lot. It's very Kafka-esque, sort of. And then the challenge, splatter, ketamorphosis. That's it.
I don't think it branded her. I don't think it branded Holland. I don't know what she was doing.
When she had said ketamorphosis the very first time, I was thinking, like, she might take us down, like, a drug trip, you know?
Yes,
you know, that's what I thought it was. And that's what I felt like is, like, the brand that Kata was going for this season. You know, starting off, like, the first talent show on, like, shrooms and whatever. You know, okay, so I was thinking maybe we're going to go down, like, the psychedelic journey, and then it was just, like, not what I expected for her.
Was it supposed to be a drug trip? Because they did the, like, her, like, face melted as, like, a transition.
Yeah, like, I don't think... I think it...
Unclear.
That's kind of, like, one of the holes in this challenge. It seemed like that there wasn't a focus in what Kata was going for with that sort of with that ketamorphosis and like the little melting transition.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just go to Amsterdam and we're just gonna paint something, you know.
Amsterdam.
Shut up. You know, like, I feel like it would have been fun if it was like if she did like this drug trip and then like they're like, okay, let's go paint something while on shrooms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that might have been fun and closer to the brand. I don't know. This runway is gorgeous, but for the challenge, I'm going to have to give her a cold case this week, and that breaks my heart to say.
Yeah, I do like the runway. I wish there was, like, more of a, like, through line of, like, suit into dress. Like, I don't know. Mm. I don't know what you do there, but I was just like, oh, it's just a dress. Like, I thought there would be more of a storyline, but she looks stunning. I love the wig. Her makeup is so fun. I love a purple brow. But
please,
she was unfortunately my least favorite in the challenge, so she is going to be getting a cold case for me.
R.I.P. That's my girl, though.
You won last week, so you had to crumble this week.
It's okay. We're allowed to trip once or twice.
Yeah, it's about how you get back up. Next up, and the last of this group, we have Tia Coffee, who in the commercial took you to England, where she just talked about what she did wrong on her season and how you can fix it on your season. And then on the runway, she did a trifecta of RuPaul looks.
Yes.
Tia, okay, she was really funny. Obviously, she was very funny. I feel like she should have either gone more in the direction of what Marina and Kata were doing or forced them more into hers. Because hers just felt so different and disjointed that it was kind of like, oh, okay, we're doing something completely different now.
Yeah.
But she was good. She was funny. She looked so fucking good in that challenge.
Yeah, Tia Coffey has looked gorgeous this season. Just like let's stop and appreciate that. She looks absolutely gorgeous this season. And I but yeah, no, I see what you mean with the challenge. I feel like that wasn't even really highlighted in critiques much, and I wish it kind of was, because it seemed like either A, Tia left her two teammates high and dry, or B, because I don't want to put the blame like solely on Tia. Like, it was obviously like a miscommunication amongst her teammates. With that being said, it just seemed like I wish they kind of worked together more as a group to sort of have a consistent theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if Tia anticipated that, like, this is probably going to be like a, even though you're in groups, you're going to be judged individually.
Mm-hmm.
Because she just, like, she just went and did her own thing, which was absolutely great. She did great in this challenge. But I wonder, where was the disconnect with the other two girls that, like, they didn't have sort of the same ideas for this challenge and what it was going to be?
Well, and I feel like this is where some of the, like, being on a RuPaul-hosted season, like, is a advantage.
Mm.
An advantage. Because Tia knows what she wants. Like, she's been with Ru, she knows what Ru looks for, so she can like apply that to what she comes up with. Whereas like Kaeda and Marina kind of have to guess still.
Yeah.
The runway, I love all the looks. I hate that you can see every look underneath the one above it.
No, yeah. Dare I say, I wish that she didn't even have the first look.
Yeah,
that, it was that white very... one for the season 9 promo.
Yeah.
Like, it's the way that she revealed it so quick that makes me feel like there was a sort of malfunction. Because if you notice, even in this picture that I'm referencing, she's, like, holding it together.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even wait 2 seconds before she, like, ripped it off. I wonder if there was, like, a malfunction. But I kind of just wish she just, like, didn't have that on. I wish it would just, like, this orange dress into the modern look.
Yes.
But I have to say, that Vanity Fair look, I think this is the best that Tia's ever looked on the runway. She looked gorgeous in this bodysuit and this Rue reference from the Vanity Fair. This is absolutely amazing.
Dare I say, I think she looked better in the challenge and in the lip sync than on this runway. I like these looks. I think she looks fine. She looks great. But she looked drop-dead fucking gorgeous in the lip sync and in the challenge.
I forgot about the lip sync. She did look really good there.
So, like, after seeing both of those, this is just kind of like, oh, yeah, this is good.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I still think, though, this third look is... I honestly would still say this third look is my favorite of even considering the lip sync look. But here we're seeing, like, a fully formed... Not even fully formed, because I think that Tia Coffey is just such a queen that is so dedicated to the up and up. You know, we might see even more growth from her. But here we are seeing an evolved Tia Coffey.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely gorgeous this week.
Close case.
Yeah, close case. Very, I'm just so glad we saw a Tia Coffey win. Close case for her.
I know. Well, and something that was interesting in this episode is of the three team captains that, like, Rue assigned, none of them were the actual team captains, like, acting team captains on their groups. Because, like, Tia took over, Scarlett took over, and Hannah took over. And, like, none of them were the original captain.
So true. So true.
So that was funny.
I was going to say, do you think being a team captain matters?
I think if you're...
Do you think it should?
When I think of, like, UK3, the commercial challenge, where, like, Crystal Versace was one of the team leaders and, like, failed at... She tried to be the team captain and failed miserably at being the team captain. I think that should matter. But if someone steps in immediately and is like, do you mind if I take over? And you're like, yeah, sure, go. Then like,
yeah,
no, I don't think that matters.
Okay, fair. Yeah, that Crystal Versace point is a good point, because especially considering that Charity Case was the one who got punished for it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it should matter. I think every group challenge, even if there is a quote-unquote team captain, I think every group challenge should... There shouldn't be one sole person to handle all the responsibility.
I think it's more of a case-by-case basis, depending on, like,
fair.
The situation. But, like, in this case, no, I don't think it really... I don't think anyone should be blamed for anything.
Yeah.
So, the next group, consists of La Grande Dame, Hanaconda, and Jambers Blonde. And this group was a hot mess express. God, what? It was, if you asked me to explain what the concept of their commercial was, I could not tell you.
No, not at all.
They each did something completely different, and there was no through line, there was no explanation, I don't know.
It just confused me so much, because at the very beginning and at the very end, they were at, an amusement park, but then we, get transported to, a coastal town with Anaconda. We get transported to the streets of France, but then we go back to this amusement park. It was very odd.
Is it like Thrillville, where, you can go to the main Thrillville, but then there's, the spooky Thrillville, and then there's, the cowboy Thrillville?
What is Thrillville?
Girl, I know you were born after 2000 because you just asked me that question.
What is Thrillville?
Fuck off. Okay. Okay, it was a video game where you, build your own amusement park.
Oh, okay.
I think Roller Coaster Tycoon, but it was more about, the full park and less about, just making a roller coaster.
So, Roller Coaster Tycoon, but your generation. Did it have, wheels and buggies?
Anyway. So, La Grande Dame ends up doing, I couldn't tell you what it was. She was Karl Lagerfeld. She was fucking all of these fashion people. And then she was her. And she was doing the, voice that RuPaul liked, but I'm getting kind of sick of. Because she's done it 3 episodes in a row now.
Oh, yeah.
The, This was really not great at all.
See, at first, it was, I don't remember what jokes there were in, the first 20 seconds of her segment, but I remember laughing out loud when she was first on that bridge. There were a couple moments there where I laughed out loud, but then she started going into these characters of Jean-Paul Gaultier saying, I like men in skirts, okay. There were a lot of confusing elements to this, and then all of a sudden at the end of their entire group segment, she's acting drunk and aloof. It was very odd. And I understand that was probably a conscious decision on her part to make that character, but I felt it didn't mesh well with A, the rest of her group, and B, the rest of her segment either.
Mm-hmm. It's giving very Simone, where RuPaul lived for that character the first time she did it, and Simone is I'm just gonna do this for the rest of the season. Obviously it works.
The flag factory.
Yes. But she had one of the best runways with her little piss girl look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where she's wearing a pageant gown that says Miss France. And then she pees and it says World Piss.
Genius. This might actually be my favorite runway of the week. If you get an assignment in modern day Drag Race that says reveal runway, this is the outside of the box thing that you should be thinking of. This is what a new reveal should be, a new day and age reveal, because we've seen queens have a dress, take it off, and it's another dress. This is subtle enough that it's not overcomplicated, but it is smart enough that it's really going to stand out from the rest of the girls. The reveal is no longer taking off your dress, but the reveal is going to be on your dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. That's why I really and I think La Grande Dame had that line of thinking. She's like, how am I going to stand out on this theme, this runway theme that's been done to death? And this was a smart way to do it.
I agree. So, overall, I'm going to give her an open, because while her challenge was one of the absolute worst, her runway was one of the absolute best. So that kind of, evens it out.
Yeah, I'm debating between an open and a cold. I'm going to give her an open, I think.
Second in their group was Hanaconda, who took you to Conda's Cove on a beach where you have to parkour to the water? So is that dumb. It?
Something like that. I don't know.
Well, and so Hannah, she's leading the group, and La Grande Dame unfortunately takes up a lot of time because she's messing up her lines, which obviously ESL, she's going to have a harder time than someone who just speaks English from first language, but they kind of don't care, and they paint that in, like, a very negative light. And so then Jombers and Hannah have to, like, they have, like, 5 minutes to do their whole shit. They're like, go, go, go. So she's, like, scrapping things. She's like, okay, now we need this. Actually, never mind. We're not going to do that. Ooh, let's do this. No, don't have time. So, like, I feel like she had more things planned, but what was given was, like, 30 seconds, and it was, like, her laughing, cackling into a bird. Where she can, like, she can put her cackle into any object that you want.
Yeah.
And you have to parkour to the water, and that is Conda's Cove.
I want to go there. I want to go to there. I don't know. It was just so chaotic, and I was laughing, though. Like, when she tossed the bird, and it just fell. And
plopped.
It made no sense whatsoever, though, and I do think that was a time issue. That, like, she probably had to cut out some essential parts that might have, like, made the experience more full. But unfortunately, like, it was overall a victim of that sort of a time issue that came up. And I also want to say, though, I also think that Hannah Conda and John Burrs were also conscious of the fact that La Grande Dame was an ESL individual, because I noticed it wasn't necessarily that they were specifically blaming La Grande Dame, but I noticed, like, John Burrs, for example, during critiques was like, you know, we just started to run out of time. She didn't specifically point out La Grande Dame took out all of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think I kind of appreciated that, because it seemed more, like, accommodating to La Grande Dame as, like, English as a second language, or maybe third, I don't remember.
They easily could have thrown her under the bus. They could have pulled a Vicky Vivacious and said, this bitch is the reason why we sucked. Don't blame me. Don't look at me.
Right.
But, so then on the runway, Hannah is the Pope, and then she is a Vegas showgirl.
Yes, I didn't get it.
This is what I mean when, like, there needs to be some storyline going on. Just two completely different looks is very confusing.
Yeah. Like, I get what she was going for when she said, oh, I'm so pious, but secretly underneath, I'm a gay slut, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen that before. Like, I get it, but it definitely felt like she had this at, like, a Mardi Gras parade or something, this showgirl look.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to find a way to, like, incorporate that, but it was like, I love it.
I feel like if she was, like, a Victoria's Secret angel, like, some kind of, like, to bring in the, like, religious, like, iconography.
Oh.
Like, something, like, you could still tell the story, but just, like, make it a little more cohesive.
Oh, a Victoria's Secret angel would have been a great idea.
I think I'm going to give Hannah an open case. Because she was not the worst in the challenge or on the runway, but she wasn't a standout in either.
I'm gonna give her, like, an open case, but, like, the open case is almost closed.
And then last up from this group was Jombers Blonde, who took you to Patty's place, I think it was, where there was, like, all these rooms, and the first room was, like, she was telling a stand-up routine, and then the second room...
In, like, a church, mind you.
Yeah. And then the third room was, like, a classroom. I don't know. I could not tell you.
Yeah, this made no... Like, if La Grande Dame's had no through line, bitch, this through line was out the door.
I would say, like, each of these three get progressively more insane.
That's actually a great way to put it. Like, it's just like a giant question mark.
Descends into chaos and bedlam.
It really does. Like, I'm curious to see what this commercial would have looked like if they didn't run out of time. Like, what was Jombers? What was her full vision? I'm curious. Because there's so much here that I have so many questions about. Dare I say, I don't even know if she wouldn't have been in the bottom, even if she had all her material in there.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. Is like, it wasn't that her performance was bad. It wasn't that she was, like, bland. Like, she was fine. Like, her acting was fine. Everything was fine. It's just, what the fuck was happening?
Yeah, it made no sense.
And then on the runway, she's doing, like, the rainbow and then the pot of gold, which I like, but... Why? Okay, because she's doing a pastel rainbow palette, it doesn't really read as rainbow. It just looks like a very pretty pastel gown. I think if she had just done like the fucking pride flag dress, like something like that, it would have read a lot better.
If she came out in Melinda Verga's cat suit.
Oh, down.
Tens across the board.
Down. Because I didn't get, I thought it was just one pretty look into another pretty look until she's like, I'm the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow now. And I was like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. I also didn't get that until she said it.
But the gold look, stunning.
Gorgeous. Okay, Derek, can I... I don't know if this is mean. It might be mean, actually. It genuinely is so fascinating to me. I have never seen a queen be so 50-50 on the runway than I have with Jonber's Blonde.
Yeah.
Jonber's Blonde either serves you some of the cuntiest and most fashionable looks and most beautiful looks, like we see with this bodysuit, this gold bodysuit, or she looks like she did last week.
Even with the ball, that lava look that she did was everything.
Oh, so true.
It was sandwiched in between two chaotic looks that were not very great.
It's genuinely so fascinating to me. But with that being said, when she has sort of like those chaotic looks, it honestly sometimes makes me appreciate these gorgeous looks even more. Like when I've seen a lot of people sort of make fun of Jonber's Blonde online for saying she's a fashion queen. But if we look at her entire package, there are some looks in there that are absolutely breathtaking. And I think this is one of them. But that's like the whole point about fashion, isn't it? About being experimental. You can't look good always.
Well, and that's the thing too. Like, Jonber's is so... She just has like one of those like frenzy personalities. And I feel like it's very evident in her fashion. Because I sometimes see too many ideas. Like, take a couple of these things out and this would be much better. And even with this look, like, I think she overthought it. I think she's like, well, rainbow can kind of read cheap, so maybe I'll do, like, a pastel. But, like, I think if she just did, like, a rainbow gown, then you would have been fine.
Yeah, I didn't even think about, like, in that perspective about how, like, a rainbow might have been seen as too tacky. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. But it definitely would have done better with the story here.
Yeah. But, she's getting a cold case. She does go home this episode.
Spoilers.
she's a confessional queen. And, like, I feel like that's where she really thrives on Drag Race.
Yeah, I'm also gonna give her a cold case. I honestly don't think this is the last we're gonna see of Jonber's, but it is just unfortunate that this is her second season and she still does not have a badge. R.I.P.
But that brings us to our last group, which was Scarlet Envy, Chariza May, and Gothy Kendall, and they have a very concise idea where that you're just going to do Drag Race.
Yes,
you're gonna go experience what it's like to do Drag Race. Scarlett is like the MC who shows you...
She shows you how to lip sync.
The lip sync. And then Gothy does the makeup. And Chariza shows you Untucked. So let's start off with Scarlett Envy. On the runway, she's wearing a white trench coat that opens up to an orange gown. But the reveal is that the coat is also lined in the same fabric as the gown.
Okay. I know I've said my piece about how I don't like reveals where it's just like you have an article of clothing and you take off that singular article of clothing, but I thought it was a creative idea that to have the lining as the same fabric as the dress. So at least she put in an effort to try to make that sort of reveal a little more gaggy. So overall, I kind of like this look.
I wish the coat was maybe a little bit more like embellished or like interesting.
Like that's very Burlington's.
Yes. Usually I don't really care if a queen pads or not, but like I feel like this dress could use a little bit of padding, you know what I mean?
Do you think so?
It just looks very straight.
I didn't notice that at all.
It just felt very like, okay, even just a little bit more cinch or like a little bit more padding on the buttocks I think could have really done her some service with this dress.
Maybe it's because the dress is, like, blending in with the fabric, but I don't really notice how straight it is. So I guess I didn't notice that. So if that's a critique you have, then I suppose that's valid. I'm a very like type of person. I'm like, don't wear pads if you don't want to. Only do what you want to do in drag.
I'm usually like that. But I think there are some looks that will just, they will look better with pads than if you don't have them.
And I proportionizing.
but Scarlett was, I mean, it's good that she won the episode, because if there was one winner for this entire episode, it was Scarlett Envy.
Yeah.
She had jokes. She led her team to victory. And I think she used her, as she told us, her bachelor's degree that she didn't use to her benefit.
Yeah, she was by far the bestest episode. By far.
She did so well. And this was her best episode of Drag Race, potentially ever.
Well, are we talking about, like, what do you mean when you say that?
Like, this episode was about her. She got a lot to say in the confessional. Okay. She gave her best lip sync that she's ever given on the show. Even though it was, like, a double win at first, like, she was the winner of this episode. Like, there was no one else even close.
Gotcha. I thought you meant, like, this is, like, the best singular Scarlett Envy performance we've ever gotten in an episode, where I would disagree with that.
Yeah, no, I would disagree too, but...
But yes, this is like the first, well, it's kind of like the second Scarlett-centric storyline, or sorry, Scarlett-centric episode of Drag Race ever, but this was like hers for the taking. Yeah, she absolutely demolished it. I'm just like sad we kind of live in a world where Scarlett Envy is never going to have a solo win.
I mean,
I guess she won the lip sync, but
she won. Like, I would say this is her win.
Do you count like a queen who wins the lip sync as a separate win? As, like, an individual win over, like, the top two?
Yes and no. I think that, like, the top two, they both are winners, but I always will leave with, like, one queen won that... One queen... Two queens won the challenge, one queen wins the episode.
Okay. As Manila Luzon would say on All Stars 4, according to Wikipedia, I won the episode, girls.
Exactly.
Yeah, Scarlett Envy, very easy close case.
Close case. Up next, we have Gothy Kendall, who was doing a bukkake joke, and then on the runway, did this unhinged masterpiece, where she comes out in this very, like, baby doll kind of look, and then reveals to baby doll breasts.
I live for this runway, I'm sorry.
This is everything to me.
This is gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. It's just so, so cutesy, but also so... fucking psychotic.
Well, and it had like a couple reveals. Like, there was like the first thing that came off, then the dress,
the sleeves,
and then the thing underneath. And she has this humongous hair. Her makeup is so good. Like, the shoes are so good. Like, everything about this is perfection.
Yes, it's just an absolutely gorgeous look. And we saw her finally get her first top placement ever.
It was like, I couldn't tell if it was top or bottom, because they were like, you really didn't do well in the challenge, but we also kind of liked it. But also, why are you here? But also, we love you.
Wait, when did they say all that? I don't think they said like she did bad in the challenge.
They were like, you still are very timid. Like, you need to wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up, Gothy. Wake up.
Well, they were like, oh, what did Michelle say? They were like, you're doing better. You're opening up a little bit. We're making progress.
Exactly. So I couldn't tell if that was like, we still need more and you're bottom, or like, good job, we love you. It was like neither.
Well, this season has been like consistently giving us high and low. So I think I would categorize Gothy as high because of that.
Yeah, probably.
Do you agree with her being in the top?
I'm going to save my thoughts on that till after, because I feel like it's like a bigger discussion.
Oh.
But yeah, she was a little bit stiff in the challenge, but like, her idea was concise and I understood what she was doing, so I appreciated that. So I'm going to give her a close case for the episode.
Yeah, I'll give her a close as well.
And then last up, we have Theresa May, who took you to hell, but it was really just Untucked. and on the runway, she gave you Marge Simpson realness.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm going to say this, I don't exactly really remember her in the challenge. I don't. This runway was fun. I really like this runway. But I thought it was like a well-deserved safe this week. Not the runway specifically, but overall performance. I thought it was a well-deserved safe.
I really liked her in the challenge. She did the like, we're going to sip on tears of a drag queen. And I thought that was funny. I think she had energy. And I think that it was a concise idea. And for this episode, that was good enough for me. And this runway is one of my favorites. It's like the it's where like Charissa does the best, where it's like a mixture of camp and glamour. And there was like multiple reveals. The little like blue bush at the end was really funny. Please. She's just, I love her. I love her so much. And this was a good episode for her.
I love that Theresa May just canonized that Marge Simpson doesn't trim.
Yes. Yes. And it will pop up on the Simpsons fandom very soon.
Close yeah, case. Like, even though I just railed her in the performance, I said she sucked. Even though I said she was the, no, I'm kidding. Even with the fact that, like, I suppose, in my opinion, she wasn't that memorable in the challenge, I think I'm still going to give her a closed case overall.
Let me pose a question to you, a query,
oh, no.
If I may.
Riddle me this.
Should this have been judged in teams or individually?
I would have judged this in teams.
Agreed.
I think.
Because there was a very clear best and a very clear worst.
Yeah. They tried very hard to make it seem like that it was an individual challenge. Like, every queen just gets their own segments, and whatever everybody else does is up to them. But I think that in this challenge, they should have been more cohesive. And so that's why I think they should have rewarded the most cohesive group, the one that has, like, the best through line between all three of the teammates. And with that in mind, like, this very clearly should have been judged in groups.
I think if this was a Lip Sync Assassin format, they probably would have. But truly, like, Scarlett was the only one who I think really knocked it out of the park this episode.
Yeah.
And then next would be Tia.
Yeah.
And I think that Charissa and Gothy were both good, but I don't know if you can justify making them a top two win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's why they did that. But for me, I would be fine with just being like, Theresa May, Scarlett Envy, you did amazing. Theresa, you had an incredible runway. Scarlett, you were incredible in the challenge. You're our top two. Like, okay. I don't think they would want to do that because Theresa didn't stand out as, like, one of the best of the whole episode, but I still think they should have just done that.
Yeah. That was very drag detective of you. I see you putting up your little conspiracy theories.
I think everything through. Because if I disagree with something, I have to say, okay, well, why would they make this decision? And I think that's a very, like, it makes sense.
For me, in my universe, no matter what happens, whether this is judged in teams or judged individually, I lose, because judged individually, as we saw, Kida Minaj is in the bottom, but judged in teams, probably Le Grand Dame was going to be up for elimination. So either way, I was like losing.
Well, and that's, I think, another reason why you wouldn't do teams, because Scarlett Envy has made it very clear she wants to send home competition. And if Le Grand Dame is in the bottom and Scarlett's in the top, she could potentially want to take out Le Grand Dame, and production, I'm sure, does not really want another Pangina moment like that or another Jimbo moment like that because it was so heavily panned.
But she could have had that moment with Kenna Minaj, too.
True, but I think Le Grand Dame and Marina very quickly are like the big dogs of this season, and I think that they're okay. I think they would be okay with this like two episodes from now, but it's still too early to lose Marina or Le Grand Dame.
Yeah, I could see that.
So it makes sense in a couple ways. But Tia, I think, overall was the second best in the challenge. Mm-hmm. So, like, I wasn't upset that, like, she was in the
top. Yeah, like, seeing Tia Coffey win just filled my heart with so much joy. And honestly, seeing Scarlett Envy win also did that after getting, like, such a bad rep from the judges on All Stars 6 and the first two episodes here.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy with the outcome of the top two, for sure. So, even judging groups, I wouldn't have gotten that joy, I don't think.
Yeah. I don't love that Gothy was, like, high. Like, I wish it was Marina, or I wish it was Theresa. Because I feel like they both did better than Gothy. But I think it was time to, like, give Gothy some more critiques. You know what I mean? Like, acknowledge that she is doing better, but, like, there's still more you can do to, like, push yourself to that next level.
Yeah.
Like, to the question, like, is it rigged? Like, yes, I think it is rigged, because if I can point out, like, how the strings are being pulled, like, there's some riggery, but it doesn't mean I'm, like, upset or, like, I disagree with it. Like, I think it was, there were reasons why they did what they did this episode, and I stand by them that was probably the right choice.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those instances of a little riggery is okay sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, overall, it was an okay episode. It wasn't anything crazy, but getting to see Scarlett deliver her best lip sync, deliver in the challenge, finally get some acknowledgement, that was really nice to see. And for Tia.
Mm-hmm.
And then next week is the Snatch Game, which we get to see a Scarlett Envy Snatch Game for the first time.
Do we really?
Mm-hmm.
No, she made it to... she didn't make it to Snatch Game on season 11, you're right.
Nope. So that'll be really fun to see. Mm-hmm. Now, La Grande Dame won her Snatch Game, and Marina won hers, right? Or she was high?
She was high.
We have some definite, like, people who are expected to do well. And I think we have some, like, redemption stories. Like, Chariza, who went home on Snatch Game undeservingly. But it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, how this goes.
Yeah, so we have two queens who never got to Snatch Game, three winners, two losers, and then Marina. That's kind of crazy. I'm curious to see how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, and we said that about this week, but I think this was kind of like a fluke episode. I think next week will be Hannah Conda's moment.
Yeah, I definitely think Hannah Conda is probably going to take the Snatch Game. Hannah Conda, can I also say, kind of really growing on me as a character. I mean, like, I was very indifferent towards her before the season aired, but I'm really excited for her.
I'm still indifferent, but I'm, like, open to her. I feel like once she has, like, a breakout moment, like, I will be more, like, inclined to, like, be a stan. But, like, right now, I'm, like, I don't dislike her. I'm not, like, obsessed with her, but, like, you know, she's fine. I like her.
So true.
So Scarlett Envy wins the lip sync and sends home Jomber's Blonde. Despite saying earlier that she would send home the stronger competitor, she, I think, thought things through and realized, maybe I don't want to be the villain, and sent home Jomber's. Do you think Tia sent home Kata?
I think so. I think Scarlett, I said this on Twitter, I think Scarlett actually is sending home the strongest competitor, because I think in her mind she was either... is my strongest competitor Kata Minaj individually, who has a challenge win, or the entirety of the UK alliance? You know,
bury that. So which wasn't brought up this episode,
surprisingly. So I think that was more not a goal of Scarlett. Well, it's kind of more of like a two birds, one stone situation, where I think Scarlett A planned for, I don't want to be the one to send home an early front runner only on episode 3. But also, let's break up the UK alliance kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was kind of safe for her on both ends to sort of pick Jomber's. I think that was the safest option, but also aligns with her strategy. But I have to say, I was shaking in my boots. My shivers were timbered.
Please.
No, so I said that wrong. My timbers were
shivered. Your timbers were shivered. I saw the shivers and they were timbered.
My timbers were shivered when, in the Untucked, literally everybody said they would send Kata home. Every single one of those bitches said, I would send Kata home.
I mean, she was the worst this episode, so it's easy to justify a challenge winner being like, well, she was the worst, so I guess I would send her home. But, like, let's be real. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, would they actually do that? If Marina Summers actually was in the top two, would she do that? I don't think so.
Well, and kind of bold of Marina to say that as, like, another challenge winner.
No, literally. Wasn't Marina the one that said, like, she did the worst in the challenge, so I would pick her?
Yeah.
She was the one who brought that up. But La Grande Dame was the one who said, I wouldn't send Jomber's home because she was my teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, oh, that's crazy. Right. Because she's the one who said... wasn't the whole thing at the beginning of this episode? Her whole confrontation with Scarlett is that she said, I would play fair. But then she says later this episode, I would send Kata home because Jomber's is my teammate. Mm-hmm. Which is fair. Or sorry, that when I say which is fair, that's not a statement, that's a question. Which is fair.
Right. Well, and that's what I think makes this season so interesting, is like, there isn't just like three countries. So there's not these like bonds. So there's a lot of more, like, gray area.
Yeah, I find it very fascinating. That's why, like, Versus the World should have, like, 7 to 8 franchises, you know? Like, it's more fun and also more enticing when we sort of have this diverse cast, because we don't exactly know how it's going to go. We can't exactly predict it.
I'm excited for Snatch Game. I always love a Snatch Game. We'll see how it goes.
I love a snatch.
Just kidding. Oh, Matthew, do tell. Well, Matthew, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you and what you have coming on the pipeline?
Well, everyone, where you can find me and what I have coming down the pipeline. you can always find me on TikTok, at BLACKBoy. I cover usually every season of Drag Race that's airing. I make like one TikTok about season 16, but Belgique, España, and You Give Us the World, I got you, girl. You can find me on Twitter at It's BLACKBoy. You can find me on Instagram at BLACK_Matt_, or you can find me on YouTube. And I have a big project coming up. It's actually not that big. It's going to be one of my shorter videos. But I do have a video that I am working on right now that should be coming out within the next week. So you can find me there.
And you can follow me at Drag Detective everywhere. And if you haven't seen the UK 5 videos I put out, they're both up now. And next video coming very soon is the best design challenges of all time, which if you haven't voted in that poll, go vote, because that's what's going to base my list. So that'll be within the next couple days.
Vote for Yara Sophia Hairball.
Bestie, let's see where she's at. Let's see. oh, no. She has 58 votes and 2.5%.
Oh, no. Well, okay, then vote for Anime Wong.
Oh, bestie.
From Curtain to Couture. From Curtain to Couture from Thailand 1.
Oh, bestie. She has... she has 50 votes and 2.1%. Oh, no.
This feels very stacked in the American Queen's favor. Kind of like UK versus the World 1.
I mean, yeah. Bernie has a lot.
Oh, does she?
Oh, no, that wasn't... No, that wasn't Bernie. That wasn't Bernie. That was Banksy.
Please. Derek, you need to do better at getting an international audience.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Ciao.
Au revoir.